Going to be in 1 Samuel 28. We're going to lead up to it. I want to talk about the story about Saul, but the story has to do with the occult, familiar spirits, wizards, them that peep, all the occult things that Satan is associated with. God tells us we're not to mess with that stuff. And sometimes we need to be reminded. We hear a lot of preaching on a lot of things, but you need to be reminded on where God's heart is concerning all kinds of issues. And this is one that God tells us to stay away from. Visiting with palm readers and all those things, God's not into that. And we'll see some scripture where he says, we need to go to the Lord our God. We don't seek to that crowd. And we'll see the story of Saul and see how God dealt with that. Under the Levitical law in Leviticus 19 and verse 31, the Bible says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. My. Isn't that interesting? What is a familiar spirit? We'll see with the story of Saul when the Witch of Endor, as she's referred to, brought up the spirit of Samuel. And a lot of that thought, we'll talk about it when we get there. Some think that she was just like Pharaoh's magicians, could copy a lot of things that God does. And she was expecting to bring up a fraudulent spirit for Saul, but when Samuel showed up, man, it kind of took her breath away when that happened. So I don't think she was really, and many don't think, I may not be right on this, all I have is the same scripture everyone else had, but when spirit of Samuel came up, that may have been God doing it, and it caught her off guard. I'm not sure, but let's look at Deuteronomy 18. God dealing with the children of Israel about this stuff. He said, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So here he's talking about these things as being abominations. In verse 10 it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Remember that, folks? That's abortion is the equivalent of that today, sacrificing children. Or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. My. And 2 Kings 21:16, I'll read this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read a few more passages till we get into the story of Saul here. And he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantment and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness. That's talking about wickedness, this stuff. I think the context here is Manasseh. 2 Kings 21 in verse 6. And the context here is Manasseh and what the scripture is referring to, the things that he did, which was wickedness in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. God wasn't happy with it. Provoked God to anger. Isaiah 19:3. It says, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and of them that have familiar spirits and to wizards. Has to do with Egypt. All right, I'm going to read, before we get into the story of Saul, I will read Acts 16:16. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. So it's a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. If you remember the story, those that made money off of her were upset that happened. And you don't see it so much locally. I think there's a palm reader in Lawrenceburg. There's one out here not too far from here. But God says you're to stay away from that stuff. That is not for the Christian. Now we're going to look at Saul. There's a couple reasons that God killed Saul, and we will see that. The first one was that he disobeyed God. I think you'll find that over in 1 Samuel 18. He disobeyed God by not destroying all the Amalekites when he was supposed to. And he had disobeyed God in a whole bunch of things, but disobeying God by not destroying the Amalekites. And then when he gets over here and seeks after this witch of Endor to bring up the spirit of Saul, it was a straw that broke the camel's back, and God killed him. On the first transgression, God rended the kingdom from him, told him that was going to happen, if I recall right. So now I'm in 1 Samuel 28, our text. It says, and it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, I surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish, and we'll get there, said to David, therefore I will make thee a keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those things that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So leading up to this, Saul is the one that put them out of the land. He was doing what God told them to do. But then in verse 4 it says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, or by the prophets. We'll get another night into the Urim and the Thummim. And that's for another study. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. Now the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. Let me read that a different emphasis. Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So she knew that she wasn't allowed to do that. She knew that Saul had commanded that they couldn't be practicing their trade, so to speak. Wherefore, then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? That's what the woman says to Saul. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. So I'm not sure what's going on here, whether she was practicing her fraudulent arts, trying to copy like the magicians did in Egypt, all those miracles that Moses did, all of Pharaoh's magicians would copy. do their best to copy him. And it's some commentators think that when they actually brought up Samuel, it is God doing it, and all of a sudden she don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right interpretation on this or not, so we'll just go on. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul?" And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw God's ascending out of the earth." And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God hath departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Then said Samuel, "Wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is becoming thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and it shall be given to thy neighbor, even to David." He says, "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord," nor actually here it tells about the Amalekites or Amalek, "because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." He was dead. Samuel's dead. Spirit said, "Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, "Behold, thy handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand and have hearkened unto the words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. That's the story of the witch of Endor, as she's referred to. And God evidently bringing Saul's spirit up, surprising the woman here. And she didn't know what to think, but then what proceeded forth was what God said. Now, a result of this for Saul in 1 Chronicles 10:13, it says this. It says, "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not." That was his failure to destroy the Amalekites for that. And then it says, "And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire against it." All right, the story of Saul, I might read quickly. 1 Samuel 13:12 about the Philistines. It said, "Therefore I, the Philistines, will come down now unto me in Gilgal, and and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done foolish. Now, part of that transgression, too, was the fact that he offered an offering, which Samuel was supposed to be offering the offering. But with those things combined, the last straw was here when he consulted with this woman who had the familiar spirit. Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. So God took the kingdom away from Saul, and he gave it to David. And we see that this consulting with familiar spirits and messing with the occult is abomination to God. And there's a lot of scripture on it. I mentioned about Manasseh, 2 Chronicles 33:1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but he did that which was evil. It's called evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And then it goes down through the passage here, and it says in verse 6, that he caused the children to pass through the fire. I think I'd gone through that verse. He had dealt with a familiar spirit, used witchcraft, wizards. You know what the big draw is, or has been? Now, we're way past that. The big Harry Potter movies. It's all about wizards and wizardry. God says we need to not mess with that stuff. We are to leave it alone. Say, oh, preacher, that's pretty innocent stuff. Maybe so. God says not to mess with it. He set up the carved image. Here it's talking about all those things which Manasseh did. And Manasseh was an evil king there. Micah 5:10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of thee. I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land. Throw down a stronghold, watch it, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand. And thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hand. And I will pluck up the groves out of the midst of thee, so I will destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as not heard. So we look at some of this stuff and we think, well, it's pretty innocent. You say, what's a familiar spirit? Well, Webster, I think, defines a familiar spirit as being like a servant of the family, a family servant, a family relationship with someone who does the bidding of the family. I've often wondered, I heard Pete Ruckman once preaching on animals and why we can't understand what an animal has to say, because we're on like a different, almost like a different frequency than the animals. And it reminded me, I remember when I reading that from Dr. Ruckman, that back in the day, all you had was AM radio. And unless you were exactly on that station, you'd get nothing but static. If you weren't right on that frequency, you'd get on it, would be clear, but when you deviated just a little bit, you'd get nothing but white noise and static. You had to be right on that frequency in order to understand what was going on. And that's kind of, and that's just my take on the thing, this familiar spirits, where someone is actually able to be on that spiritual plane. But there's a whole lot of questions. This was probably God that brought him up, and the rest was probably a fraudulent business enterprise that the woman had and doing all these things, but people look to them. And you see people today, they're always looking for something like that, something extra-biblical for their answers. And even innocent things, we'll get caught up in an innocent thing like, well, better read my horoscope for today. Say, well, preacher, now you're meddling. What's wrong with that? I don't know. I just know that God says, if you've got a question about your future, you need to seek unto the Lord your God. So it was serious enough with Saul that it was a straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, and God killed him. Familiar spirits. I'm not sure, but you see them all through Scripture. Now, in Scripture, you'll see four kinds of spirits mentioned. There's a, who knoweth the spirit of a man which goeth up. And there's a couple verses in Ecclesiastes on that. Ecclesiastes 9, Ecclesiastes 5, somewhere. Who knoweth the spirit of a man which goeth up, or the spirit of a beast which goeth down into the earth? And then there is the Holy Spirit. And the fourth is an unclean spirit. So obviously all these spirits, and let me say this, I don't act like there's no power in those unclean spirits. I just don't mess with them. I don't want to go around them. Folks in high school, they'll do that Ouija board stuff and all that occult stuff and think it's so innocent. I'm saying you don't need to mess around with that stuff, because obviously there is power there, but it isn't the kind of power that we should seek to. It's darkness. It's dark power, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in a high place, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, principalities and power. So you don't need to mess around with that stuff. You want to be right with God, leave that stuff alone. If you want to know something about your future, seek God, ask God to reveal to you whatever you think you need to know. I've got some verses written down here. 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That is about Saul. Leviticus 19:31, regard not what I just said, but from Scripture here it says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord thy God. Why would you go to something like that? Well, I think it'd be fun. Let's all get a reading. How about those tarot cards? Don't mess with that stuff. Leviticus 26, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Are you kind of getting the message here of something? We don't talk about it much. We don't bring it up much. We don't preach about it much. But it's just something you need to file in your scriptural knowledge department. And know where God stands. We as Christians, I know our first principle back there in our Reformers Unanimous program is that if God is against it, so am I. So here you'll find out that God's against a Christian messing with all that occult stuff. He says it's abomination, and he's pretty clear about it that we're not to mess with it. And the soul that turneth after such. Wow, that's something. I will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus 20:27 says, now Leviticus, it's a Levitical law to the children of Israel. That's God's people. Now as a church, we're still God's people. If God was against it then, I'd say he's against it now. God, the Lord didn't take anything from the law. He fulfilled the law. We don't get our righteousness by keeping the law, but the Bible says the law is still pure and holy, but Christ became the end of the law for righteousness. All that means is that our righteousness is no longer in the law. We don't get our righteousness from it. We get our righteousness from Jesus Christ. He became the end of the law for righteousness. Leviticus 20:27, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. 1 Samuel 28:3, and we've read, this is our text we've read through. It says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, wizards. You'll go down through that story, and you'll see that the very thing that Saul understood from God, he had to put that stuff out of the land. He violated that by going to one that had a familiar spirit. God wouldn't answer him, so he did it his way. That seemed like it was always the story of Saul. If he didn't hear from God, he figured whatever he came up with would be just as well. The same with his sacrificing. 2 Kings 21:6, and he made his son to pass through the fire, observed times, used enchantments, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness. That was about Manasseh again. 2 Kings 23:24. Here it is again. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book of that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. So a lot of scripture on this that we're not to mess with that stuff. 1 Chronicles 10:13, it says, so Saul died for his transgression. And I read those two things that he died for. 2 Chronicles 33:6, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He observed times, used enchantments, and that was considered a wicked king, Manasseh. And when it says in Isaiah 8:19, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and to wizards that peep and that mutter, here it is, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? I'll read that again. Isaiah said, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Interesting thought along this thing with Samuel. Those Old Testament saints went, their body went to the grave, to the tomb, and their souls went to paradise. Assume the spirit was with the soul, went to paradise. So this would have probably had to have been a supernatural thing from God. It said they saw the gods come there because she didn't know what it was. Coming up with Samuel. So there is a thought, some talk about that human spirit is with the body in the grave. I don't know that I have any scripture on that. Do you know, Brother Jeremiah? Because, well, we know that from the, where it says a spirit that goeth up. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's what this woman was using, divination and demonic spirits and calling on a demonic spirit to mimic or mock those things, just as the magicians did with Pharaoh. and the spirit of Egypt shall fail, Isaiah 19:3, shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they that seek to idols and to charmers, to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And this, I quoted this verse, I'll read it accurately, in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's out there, folks, just as God is good and righteous, there's also Satan and his emissaries, those unclean spirits. Most folks refer to them as demons, but you won't find that word in a King James Bible. They're unclean spirits, Satan's emissaries. They're there to do his bidding, and they're active in this world. He's referred to the God of this world. And we see things in government. We see things amongst the principalities and powers. A principality is something that has a prince over it. Principalities, powers, are governments. Satan's involved in all those things for the purpose of hindering the church. He stands against the church. He stands against Christ. He is the spirit of Antichrist. And God says, you stay away from all that craziness and wickedness. I remember as a young city policeman in Miami, Florida, in the 70s, there was a Haitian community, and there was a Jamaican community, and both of those had a lot of voodooism and a lot of that occultism going on with it. We'd get a call sometimes where a guy would find a dead chicken hanging on his mailbox. Well, what's that about? It's some kind of curse, a voodoo curse that somebody had put on him. And I've had folks in my police car that would turn around and be putting some kind of hex or curse on me. But there's a verse that even talks about that. It says, the curse causeless shall not come. That stuff don't have any control or effect over the born-again child of God. You can let them put curse after curse on you, the devil's crowd. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Just be aware of that crowd. Be cognizant of the devil and his ways, his devices that he uses against the child of God. If he can get you all caught up in a bunch of that foolishness, then he'll keep you from trusting in God for this and for that. And that, what I said, even reading your horoscope, that may be very innocent. I'd do it for years. Let me see what the horoscope says. Well, isn't that interesting? I'm afraid of it. I don't mess with it now. I just don't go near that stuff that God says don't go near. I'll read that verse again. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, shall not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead. My. Little lesson tonight, nothing, not a big doctrinal thing, but something that you need to be aware of, where God stands on some of that stuff. You'll see it in a lot of TV programming, and understand that. Like I say, that is a whole series of Harry Potter, and say, well, preacher, that is so innocent. My kids love that. Well, when you start gearing kids up and gearing folks up to all the wizardry and all the images and all that, somebody's being prepared for something. I remember when they started coming out with the the video games and stuff, all the that when I heard a preacher in the years and years ago when that stuff first started, said it's the Antichrist preparing folks for Armageddon. I'm gonna get that crowd all lined up on how to conduct war. I don't know about all that stuff. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to try to share what Scripture has to say for you. Now, about these things. Now, look at that verse that I mentioned about the curse causeless shall not come is found in Proverbs 26, verse 2. So when if somebody's telling you they've put a curse on you and they've done this to you, don't worry about it. Proverbs 26:2, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Isn't that a good verse? Isn't that a neat verse? Well, the moral of the story is we have a Lord that we serve. We have God Almighty in heaven. He's our power. That's the only power that we look to. He allows Satan to do what he does. The Bible says there is no power but of God. And then he instructs his people to stay away from all this darkness, all this occult stuff. You don't mess with it. Don't say there's not power there. I've heard a lot of Christians say, well, there is no power. And that's all just baloney. Well, I just don't mess with it. God don't say there's no power. Those unclean spirits, emissaries of Satan. Quick verse here that I heard through preaching years ago. Says you got to be careful on the folks that'll say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Come, you know, rebuking this spirit and that spirit. And this preacher took me back to the story of Michael the archangel. He's contending with the devil over the body of Moses. And he didn't say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He didn't say, I'm going to rebuke anything. It says, and Michael, it says, when contending with the body of Moses, durst not make a railing accusation. But here's what he says. The Lord rebuke thee. The archangel didn't do the rebuking. He said, the Lord rebuke you. See the difference there? Subtle difference? Maybe not so subtle. So I'm not one of those going around and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't have any power to rebuke nothing. The Lord rebuke thee. You call on the Lord to do the rebuking. That's what Michael did. That's a good little lesson in itself. Remember those things. All right, I'm done. We'll have a verse of invitation. If you're here tonight and you've dealt with that stuff, God forgives that like he does anything else. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it Lord? The Lord is our master. Lord that judges. And he just tells us you stay away from that stuff. Everyone stand up tonight as we sing.